the supplication on Tuesdays. In the name of Allah, the All-Merciful, the All-Compassionate. Praise belongs to Allah, and praise is His right, since Him deserves it, abundant praise. I seek refuge in Him from the evil of my soul, for surely the soul commands to evil, except as my Lord has mercy. I seek refuge in Him from the evil of Satan, who adds sins to my sin. I seek protection with Him from every wicked tyrant and unjust sovereign and conquering enemy. O Allah, place me among Thy troops are the victors, and place me in Thy party, for Thy party are the ones who prosper. And place me among Thy friends, for Thy friends no fear shall be upon them, nor shall they sorrow. O Allah, set right for me my religion, for it is the preserving tie of my affair. Set right for me my hereafter, for it is the abode of my permanent lodging, and to it I flee from the neighborhood of the vile. Make life an increase for me in every good, and death an ease for me from every evil. O Allah, bless Muhammad, the seal of the prophets, and the completion of the number of the envoys, and his household, the good, the pure, and his household, the good, the pure, and his companions, the distinguished. And give me on the Tuesday three things. Leave no sin for me unless Thou forgives it. And leave no grief unless Thou takes it away. And leave no enemy. And leave no enemy unless Thou repelst him. By means of in the name of Allah, the best of the names. In the name of Allah, Lord of earth and heaven, I seek to repulse every hateful thing, the first of which is His anger. And I seek to attract every lovable thing, the first of which is His good pleasure. So seal me with forgiveness from Thee, O Patron of Beneficence.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful, dear brothers and sisters, thank you so much for joining us on today's special.
Ah!
Today, Monday, is the 25th of Jamadi Thani, 1442 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 20th of Bahman, 1399 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and 8th of February, 2021 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. We open the Holy Quran and we listen to chapter Hujurat, verse 14.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. قالت الأعراب آمنا قل لم تؤمنوا ولكن قولوا أسلمنا ولما يدخل الإيمان في قلوبكم وإن تطيعوا الله ورسوله لا يلتكم من أعمالكم شيئا إن الله غفور رحيم.
The Bedouins say, "We have believed." Say, "You have not yet believed," but say instead, "We have submitted," for faith has not yet entered your hearts. And if you obey Allah and His Messenger, He will not deprive you from your deeds of anything. Indeed, Allah is forgiving and merciful.
لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
This blessed verse reflects the difference between Islam and faith, saying that Islam is the outward and legal aspect of faith, and whoever utters the formula, Allah says, "There is no God but Allah and Muhammad is the messenger of Allah," is recognized as a Muslim and is thus obliged to act upon Islamic laws. But faith is a real and inward affair whose place is human heart rather than his tongue and appearance.
In the month of Bahman, the month of Islamic Revolution, be with today's special.
On 42nd anniversary of the victory of the Islamic Revolution of Iran, the fundamentals of Iran's Islamic Revolution on today's special. Islamic Revolution, the standard bearer of unity. Dear brothers and sisters, you should know that the imperialism had made considerable investment for the decades or more to create differences between Muslims. For this purpose, books and journals have been published and distributed throughout the world. The sentiments got incited and hatred and malice was created in the hearts of Muslims against one another. Albeit, in the past too, these kinds of enmities were existing, but it has adopted a new depiction during the period imperialism. Islamic Revolution came into existence, and when Muslims of any country witnessed that the flag we hoisted and loved is that of Islam and the noble Prophet, Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him and his pure progeny, the designs of the enemies thus got foiled. Imperialism never sits idle. The enemies of Islam are never going to sit in comfort when they saw that the revolution and Islamic Republic has maintained unity between Shia and Sunni within and outside the country and have brought them close to each other. They started to make the atmosphere venomous from the outside. Dr. Fakhr Rouhani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wa bin Astain. When Imam Khomeini was in Najaf and he delivered the speeches and the text of his speeches reached the Iranian nation, I mean those people, those Iranian pilgrims who had the opportunity of going to Iraq on pilgrimage, many of them secretly visited Imam Khomeini, and they received Imam Khomeini's messages carried into the nation in the form of cassettes, I mean voice cassettes, and people were able to listen to the speeches of Imam Khomeini. And little by little we find that Imam Khomeini led this Islamic revolution, especially when Imam Khomeini's son, the late Ayatollah Sayyid Mustafa Khomeini, was poisoned and martyred in Najaf. It never made any stop to the line of Imam Khomeini's struggles against the ex-Pahlavi royal dynasty and ultimately against Americans. Imam Khomeini knew well that the ex-Pahlavi royal dynasty was entirely dependent on the help of Americans, because the ex-Pahlavi royal dynasty was nothing but a puppet of Americans in the whole region and the whole Asian territory. Now Imam Khomeini, because of his Islamic revolution, brought about a fundamental change, a radical change, not only in the fate of the Iranian nation, but also in the fate of the whole territory, and by extension in the fate of the whole world. We find that after the victory of the Islamic revolution of Iran, that other nations have felt the encouragement, the power to raise their voices against Americans and against other tyrants. We find that because of this, Imam Khomeini intended to encourage people to continue their struggles against tyranny, against oppression, against cruelty.
IRB English Radio in the month of Bahman presents today's special.
Imam Khomeini's political thought, religious leaders' duties. Usually, the leaders of every faith are considered to be the symbols of that faith. A quick look at the lives of all religious leaders in general, and the Prophet Muhammad and the Imams, peace be upon them all, in particular, would indicate that they did not keep themselves aloof from politics and in their lives. Regarding the Prophet's way of life, Imam Khomeini says, "The Prophet's policies on internal and external affairs indicate that one of his tasks was his political activity. In Prophet's time, political and spiritual leadership were not separate, but later political and spiritual leaderships became separated from each other." Dear brothers and sisters, this is today's special from IRIB English Radio. Now we'll listen to a story from the life of Imam Khomeini, the founder of Islamic Revolution of Iran. Imam's daughter narrates, Imam had extraordinary respect for his wife. For example, I am not lying if I say that in the period of 60 years of living together, he did not even reach for food on the dinner table before his wife, nor did he had even the smallest expectation from her. I can even say that in the period of 60 years of living together, at no time did he even ask for a glass of water. but would always get it himself. If Imam Khomeini was in such a position that he could not, he would say, "Is the water not here?" He would never say, "Get up and bring me water." He behaved this way not only with his wife, but also with all of us, who were his daughters. During the difficult last days of his life, each time he would open his eyes, if he was capable of speaking, he would ask, "How is Khanum?" We would reply, "She's good. Shall we tell her to come to you?" He would answer, "No, her back is hurting. Let her rest."
So Imam comes back from, you know, from Paris, and they install surface-to-air missiles, 20,000 army men stationed at Mehrabad, and you find 4.5 million humans, ocean of humanity, pouring into the small Mehrabad airport, and you don't even find where those 20,000 soldiers went. This is called tawakkul. وَمَنْ يَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ فَهُوَ حَسْبُهُ. When you do your duty towards us, some of the people are doing tawakkul. In Arabic, there's a difference between tawakkul and tawakkul. Tawakkul is done after you fulfill your fariḍa, you leave the result on Allah, and tawakkul means you leave, you escape from your responsibility, and you put your burden on someone else, and you think, let him do the job. He was Ahlul Ishq. He had the deep love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the deep love of Prophet and Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam. And had it not been for his deep love, you find, he would not achieve what he achieved. The fourth travel of the soul, fil khalq bil haq. Isn't it right? So this is how he returns back after his levels of purification to serve the mahrumeen and mazlumeen. This is how he served. Mahamiya, hamiya mustadafane jahani. We are the supporters of all the oppressed masses. Let's suppose there's a Jew being oppressed somewhere. In our beautiful religion, Islam, we will stand to support that Jew who's oppressed. And if there is a Shia person who's oppressing somebody somewhere, we are going to condemn that Shia person over his oppression. This is the kind of fairness-based principles that we have.
I invite you to listen to the next episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio. Till then, have a nice time.
Food for thought.
Hello, dear listeners, and we now present you an interesting statement from Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny, on the matchless merits of his divinely decreed vicegerent, Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace be upon him, in the sight of God Almighty. Ali is with the Quran, and the Quran is with Ali.
Iranian Radio, Global Mission. This is IRIB English Radio.
your door. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. وصلى الله على سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Dear listeners, welcome to another episode of Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio. Now we're moving on to the fourth section of this tradition of Hisham ibn Hakam, narrated from Imam Kadhim alayhi salam. Previously we discussed this third section where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows us certain phenomena, certain creations of his that, you know, we should think on. And it will come to us that there has to be a mudabbir, a manager, a controller of these things, a person who put this system in order. And we said there were eight verses of the Holy Quran mentioned, and we mentioned one of those verses, the verse from Surah An-Nahl. In the fourth section, the Imam then says that, no, look, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has also admonished those with intellect and enticed them to seek the hereafter. That you have intellect, you have to put it to use. And by doing so, not for this world, but for the hereafter. Your goal and your means of so-called salvation is not here. You are not created for this world. You are created for something eternal, something better, something bigger, if you want to put it like that. So the Imam says, oh Hisham, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has also admonished those with intellect and enticed them to seek the hereafter. For he, Azza wa Jal, has said in the Holy Quran, the temporal life, that is this worldly life, is but sport and amusement. Whereas the abode of the hereafter is certainly better for those who fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then the Imam continues with the verse and says, why then do you not use your intellect? أَفَلَا تَأَقِلُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling people that, why don't you think? Now, one simple explanation we can give here from this verse of the Holy Quran, that Imam is saying that, why don't you compare this world to the hereafter? This world is temporal. This world is fleeting. Whatever you have here will go. Death is something that will definitely come to you. But the next world is everlasting. It is eternal. It is infinite. Whatever you wish for, you will get there. Why don't you think upon this and come to the realization and come to the conclusion that with your intellect, when an intellectual person will understand that putting effort in for something that is fleeting is not worth it if it takes away effort from that which is eternal. So therefore I should put my effort into something that is eternal, something that is infinite, something that will not take me forever, something that I cannot even imagine in terms of its essence, in terms of what it actually is. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us of those who ponder upon the verses of the Holy Quran in this manner. The Imam here is trying to awaken us, awaken our intellect, and saying Allah wants us to do this. Inshallah, until next time, my dear brothers and sisters. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
That was the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
Your door, send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure. Oh Lord, here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more.
اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا.
فدعوتك ربي بقرآني جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانا يا من ينجينا إحسانا ودعوتك ربي بقرآني.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. In the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. May the peace and blessings of Allah be upon the soul of Prophet Muhammad and his purified progeny. Dear audience, Assalamu Alaikum. You're listening to the program Let's Recite the Quran, a program that broadcasts from Voice of Islamic Republic of Iran. And its aim is to bring the recitation of the Holy Quran into our lives. In this program, first we're going to have some quotes about the Holy Quran by some Western scholars. Then we are going to listen to some verses by famous reciters. After that, Brother Muhammad, the expert of Tajweed, is going to analyze the recitation. And at the end, we have a segment called Attractiveness of the Holy Quran, presented by Brother Yasser Ibrahim. Stay tuned. The Quran is a book in which its beauty is confessed by even non-Muslim scholars. In this segment, we are going to listen to some quotes from different scholars about the Noble Quran. Hamilton Alexander Ruskin Gibb, 1895-1971, known as H.A.R. Gibb, was a Scottish historian on Orientalism. He wrote many books on history of Islam and Arabs. In his famous book, Islam, A Historical Survey, he wrote the following about the Noble Quran. The Meccans still demanded of him a miracle, and with remarkable boldness and self-confidence, Muhammad appealed as a supreme confirmation of his mission to the Quran itself. Like all Arabs, they were the connoisseurs of language and rhetoric. Well, then if the Quran were his own composition, other men could rival it. Let them produce 10 verses like it. If they could not, and it is obvious that they could not, then let them accept the Quran as an outstanding evident miracle. Now let's listen to the recitation of Surah Al-Qiyamah, verses 16 to 35, recited by Abdul Basit Muhammad Abdul Samad.
إِنَّ عَلَيْنَا جَمْعَهُ
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear brothers and sisters in faith. You're listening to the program, Let's Recite the Quran. You just listened to the verses 16 to 35 of Surah Al-Qiyamah, recited by Sheikh Abdul Basit Muhammad Abdul Samad. Now we want to analyze this recitation in terms of tajweed. Okay, at the beginning, لا تحرك به لسانك لتعجل به. Perhaps the most important rule of tajweed that we have in this verse is the tarqiq of the ra. تحرك ri. The ra has to be pronounced with thinness, okay? And in order to pronounce it with thinness, we give a kasra to the ra and we pronounce it thinly by moving the tongue downward, and the back of the tongue is not raised when pronouncing the ra. So we don't say tuharrik. Tuharrik is incorrect. Tuharrik. Tuharrik. Lisanaka lita'jala bih. Okay, notice how in bihi, the word bihi, when we stop on it, the ishba' is not applied. Because when we do waqf al-iskan, so no longer you need to do ishba'. Inna alayna jam'ahu wa qurana. Why does Sheikh Abdul Basit say qurana instead of saying qur'ana? This is because he's reciting in the qira'a of Ibn Kathir. I don't know which riwayah it is, but I know that I'm pretty sure that this is the qira'a of Ibn Kathir. Both riwayahs, they pronounce qurana qurana without the Qur'an, without the sukun on the ra. فَإِذَا قَرَأْنَاهُ فَإِذَا قَرَأْنَاهُ فَاتَّبِعْ قُرْآنَهُ. Why did he do ishba' قَرَأْنَاهُ in Hafs? We don't do ishba' here, but in Ibn Kathir, ishba' takes place every single time that there is a ha'ud-damir. Okay, doesn't matter if before it there's a long vowel, if before it there's a sakin letter. No, ishba' takes place all the time. So minhu would be minhu in Ibn Kathir. Or for example, alayhi would be alayhi, and so on and so forth. ثُمَّ إِنَّ عَلَيْنَا بَيَانَهُ. We have the ghunna of the noon and also the meme. They're both mushaddad. كَلَّا بَلْ تُحِبُّونَ الْعَاجِلَةَ وَتَذَرُونَ الْآخِرَةَ وُجُوهٌ يَوْمَئِذٍ نَاظِرَةٌ إِلَى رَبِّهَا نَاظِرَةٌ. Now in these two verses, verse 22 and 23, we have the difference between ضاد and wa. Nadhira, nadhira. You see the difference? Wad is pronounced with the side of the tongue. Wa is pronounced with the tip of the tongue. And both have istirla, so both are pronounced with tafkhim. Wujuhun yawma idhin basira. We have iqlab of nun sakina and tanween here. تظن أن يفعل بها فاقرة كلا إذا بلغت التراقي وقيل من راق. This is sect. Instead of saying من راق, we say من راق. We hold our breath on the noon ساكنة, and then without taking our breath, we pronounce راق. Okay, dear brothers and sisters, we ran out of time, unfortunately. We will analyze other great recitations by great reciters in future programs, inshallah. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Dear brothers and sisters in faith, you're listening to Let's Recite the Quran from IRIB English Radio. As you may know, the Quran is a book that can change the life of the one who is in contact with it. In this segment, Brother Yasser Ibrahim is going to tell us stories of those that their lives have been changed by the Noble Quran.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته dear listeners. One of the beautiful and immaculate characteristics of the Holy Quran is that it appeals and it can, catch the heart of any individual. It has the ability to do so, especially if that individual has the capability and the capacity to let the light of the Holy Quran enter into his or her heart. And as we've seen from our previous programs, this is the case, that those individuals who were seeking something or who had a clean heart, and so on and so forth, the light of the Holy Quran very easily penetrated and caused such a revolution within these people that their whole life, kind of went 180 degrees. One of the verses that we will see in the next few episodes that changed quite a few individuals, not only at the time just after the Holy Prophet, even in today's world, is the verse from Surah A'raf, verse number 31. This verse talks about eating and drinking. But also it says that eat and drink, yes, but do it in a way that you do not waste. You are not wasteful. Now, this could also mean, as some of the individuals who we will mention have taken it to mean, it does not mean obviously that is the actual meaning. What we give of the Holy Quran is a perception of the meaning that we have. The depths of the Holy Quran are something that we have to dive into, and hopefully it is a blessing that which we are given in enabling ourselves to understand the depths and the secrets of the Holy Quran. So in this verse of the Holy Quran, which is again, I repeat, Surah A'raf, verse number 31, that says, put on your adornment on every occasion of prayer and eat and drink, but do not waste. This is that thing, that particular, message of not being wasteful, eating sufficiently, drinking sufficiently, not doing too much, not going overboard or being gluttonous. So it is mentioned in one of the books that one of the scholars, who was not Muslim, heard this verse being recited by one of the Qaris or one of the reciters of the Holy Quran in a particular gathering. And this verse caused such a change within him that he accepted Islam and became Muslim. As we mentioned, the Holy Quran penetrates the hearts of those who are seeking. Or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, at the specific moment, opens the heart of that person so that the light can penetrate. And then this particular scientist that has been reported to have said this, or this particular scholar that has reported to have done this after hearing this verse of the Holy Quran, becoming Muslim, he says that this verse contains and encapsulates the principles and foundation of wisdom and medicine. And this is according to his understanding of the Holy Quran. And this one verse, because of his specific specialty and what he has learned in, which is probably medicine, he understands the concept of wastefulness, the concept of eating too much, and so on and so forth. Inshallah, until next time, my dear brothers and sisters. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
Dear brothers and sisters in Islam, that was the final part of the program, Let's Recite the Quran. If you have any comments, questions, or suggestions, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. And you can also visit us on our website, that is parstoday.com. Please subscribe to our YouTube channel, which is Call of Islam Radio. Until our next episode, we'll leave you in Allah's care. Have a nice time and goodbye. ذكر وموعظة ونور فيه شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نلقى
تقيم حياتنا إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان والقرآن ضياء يملأ الآفاق ونور يبعث الأشواق وفيه محاسن الأخلاق
This man changed the world.
Allahu Akbar, Khomeini Rahbar. Allahu Akbar, Khomeini Rahbar.
Our bosses couldn't cope with the idea of an 80-year-old Ayatollah, which they didn't even know what an Ayatollah was, who lived on garlic and onions and yogurt, directing a revolution that was about to topple America's most important ally.
Shuma dar in qarn mojiza kardid. ملت ایران ملت معجزه آسای قرن است
الله اکبر خمینی رهبر الله اکبر خمینی رهبر
بسم الله الرحمن الرحیم in the name of Allah the exalted the most compassionate the most merciful salam hello and welcome to our audience particularly a warm welcome to our audience for listening to the program the man who changed the world and still is of course I refer to Imam Khomeini God bless his great soul, for which the supreme leader of the revolution of the Islamic Republic of Iran has referred to and has said that the revolution that occurred in this part of the world and for the rest of the world in its entirety cannot be understood without the great personality of Imam Khomeini. From the previous program, we were at the stage where we've discussed about claim, we've discussed about the fact that there have been enemies of the revolution as well. And of course, Imam Khomeini referred to a very big enemy of this revolution, which he referred to in the form of two enemies, one being American Islam and the other, the great Satan. Now, we mentioned in this program that Imam Khomeini, may God bless his great soul, whatever word he said was law. In other words, he's not saying words for the sake of saying them because it's either good PR or because of the fact that it's something to do with just saying something for the moment, which is what many other personalities and leaders of previous revolutions have done in the past in order to make people hate a particular enemy. Imam Khomeini never hated anyone. He was stating facts. So when he states the fact that the Americans or the USA is the great Satan, what did he mean by that? Did he mean that they are behaving like Satan? They show the characteristics of Satan? In terms of the fact that we discussed in the previous program that Satan's objective is not just simply that we abandon principles or that we abandon God or stop our belief in God or become infidels, but the fact is that he wants the complete abasement and the abuse and disgrace of mankind in the sight of God. He's not satisfied with anything less, because going to hell is only part of the process in which he would like to see man fall. So we're putting everything in the context of the Holy Quran, because of course the Holy Quran is an account of what happens to man when he abandons God or loses his faith in God, and what happens to man when he does believe in God. And that's what Imam Khomeini wanted to show by his example to the rest of the world in the late 20th century, when religion had really taken a back seat. Once again, I've got Dr. Hassani to help me with this discussion, and I'd like to welcome him on the program once again.
Assalamu alaikum. Thank you for having
me. Yes, and Dr. Hassani, of course, is an Islamic researcher and academic by profession. Dr. Hassani, take us into the next stage of this debate and this discussion. Because you've talked about humiliation and debasement by Satan from the Holy Quran, but we are looking at what are our Satans now? Is it still Satan in the form of the USA, or are we talking about something entirely different here? Because Imam Khomeini made a statement, and he said the great Satan can't do anything. So take us into that stage. Why did Imam Khomeini say that, and what did he mean by it?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Again, so many different subjects, one at a time, as much as I can elaborate
sure,
on.
Sure, sure.
And I would like to start by, the my style of talking. Mm-hmm. In order to think, you have to raise a good question. Brother Ejaz, every question is not, according to Islamic teaching, Quranic, mm-hmm. every question is not worth of being asked.
Sure.
The one that can help you in hereafter, in the final destination of yours.
Sure.
That could be a good, because there is an order in Quran said, don't ask of those things that if it can be revealed to you, it's going to cause you problem.
Sure.
This is a Quranic understanding.
Sure.
I would like to raise a question, because the way we look at, the way the entire world looking at Imam Khomeini, may his holy soul rest in peace, is this, that he was a leader, of course.
Of
he
course.
Was a leader of the Islamic Revolution.
Sure.
My question is this, in order to understand, who can be a leader? What's a leader? Of course, somebody who can lead. Mm. Take you from position A to position B without any damage.
Yeah.
Okay?
Sure.
With the least expenses. Mm. But the question is this, who can be a leader? My simple answer to you is this. Mm. Someone who has been to destination and came back.
Sure.
Okay?
Sure.
Because you're talking about divine orders here. If you're not at a certain age, this is one of the personalities, great personalities of Imam. Some people think that Imam, of course, every different person during the course of his own time, he can become more perfect, okay?
Sure, sure.
He can do things better. Mm. But Imam Khomeini, one of his way of approaching the fact was that when he was very young, he worked on himself, as we say.
Yes. Yes.
He really, really tried so hard in order to understand Quran and practice it.
Yes.
So, someone like him can be a leader, and for the follower can have the trust to follow him. Because he, against his personal desires, okay, he could have an open, a constant open eye to see his divine mission in order to lead people, okay,
sure.
to the right path and take him to the destination.
Mm.
Because another criteria I should mention here is this. Who can you trust?
Mm.
This is my question.
Sure.
How do you know that in a relationship, a mutual, of course it is,
sure.
how can you trust? How can you pick a good company of somebody?
Sure.
My answer to you simply, according to the Quranic teaching, and according to the good advice of the impeccables,
yes,
all
the imams.
Prophets and imams, is
yes.
this. Someone who doesn't, listen to the criteria again
sure.
and think about it.
Sure.
Someone who doesn't invite you to himself.
But invites you to God.
Invites you to the truth.
Truth, yeah.
The whole truth and nothing but the truth.
Yeah, absolutely.
And he helps you.
Sure.
And he helps himself. And in this, with this dialogue, with this kind of mutual understanding and relationship, you both can grow.
Yes.
So again, if someone does call upon you to do something, to gain something for himself or herself, this is not a good sign.
No.
This is a warning.
Mm.
This is something you have to be cautious about.
Yeah.
Imam Khomeini never, ever say somebody to follow him.
Mm.
Remember, before he became a marja, he never ever tried to write his risala, the practical book of religious do's and don'ts.
Don'ts.
He did not.
Mm.
They asked him to, you know, to use the share of the impeccables, the part of the one-fifth of Allah's duty, which we call khums.
Sure.
He never allowed that money, for that money to be funded for something personal.
Sure.
Think about that.
Yeah. But I want to answer that.
But he became a great marja later on.
Sure. But I want to get to the nitty-gritty of the fact that, you know, we're talking about a superpower that is doing the things which wanted to humiliate the country called Iran. And I'm saying that Imam Khomeini is not saying that this great Satan for the sake of just popular press. Why does he say that? And what was the prevalent criteria.
I was going to get to this part.
Because the thing being, I like to elaborate a little bit on my question. The reason being that in the 7th century, there was a culture of jahiliyyah. They say that it was an age of ignorance. You said to me that in the 7th century, you have to look at the broader context of the world.
You have to.
And you're quite right about that. But
so
the point is,
you shouldn't just study the situation in Arabian Peninsula.
Right.
You should know exactly what happened in Persia, India, Egypt.
Sure.
And
Rome. What you're seeing at the end of the day is that in the 7th century, there was not a body of knowledge or any light by which man could be guided towards perfection, because that's what we're really talking about. Because you talked about two things. You talked about the reward of the body being paradise and the reward of the soul being God Almighty himself. In other words, the other civilizations were also off track, even though the Roman Empire was monotheistic. It was Christian. It believed in a text and a prophet that had come several centuries before Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. Yet they were not the solution. They were not correct in their terms of their view of what man was and where he's going. And similarly, in the East, they are mostly polytheistic. They were believing in many gods. So even the concept of one God was very difficult for them to absorb. What I'm saying now is, was Imam Khomeini talking about the great Satan because there's an age of jahiliyyah which they are spreading throughout the world?
Good question. On a lighter note, let me ask you this. Do you know why Satan wants to take everybody to hell?
No, I don't.
Because he doesn't want to be alone.
He doesn't need our company that badly, does he?
Have you ever thought about that?
No.
I mean, think about it. He knows he's going to hell.
Wow.
Why? He disobeyed his creator.
But he's
God told him something to do.
Yeah.
He didn't.
Mm.
Then he started challenging God.
Yeah.
Oh, why you created me? You created me from the fact of that I'm from fire.
Fire, yeah.
And he's from clay, and fire is obviously superior to... I mean, this is nonsense.
Yes.
Hey, Allah told him to prostrate for him in front of Adam, peace be upon him,
sure.
Just to test him.
Yes.
He wants to know who was nosy. I make it simple for you. Do we have to know the answer for everything?
No.
Can we find the answer to everything? What's the submission means? You have to be submissive to something. And you cannot be submissive to nobody except for your own creator. He knows you best.
Best.
Okay? By definition, we talked about this before.
Yeah.
So on the lighter note, he knows he's going to hell.
Mm.
So who wants to be alone in that misery?
In that misery.
He wants to have company.
Yeah. To watch their misery.
Exactly.
To feel better.
To feel better.
To feel better.
I mean, this
because
is a psychology.
We have to say that because Satan is doing it out of sheer hatred because he's jealous and he's vengeful.
Mm-hmm. So this one thing. Putting this aside.
Yeah. Is that the same with the United States?
I'm getting to that part. Yeah. Yes, it is. Why? Because when American mentality...
Yeah.
So, not mentioning any names right now.
Right. Because
okay?
There are three qualities here, isn't there? There's arrogance, which is what Imam Khomeini referred
which
to...
Satan is good at it.
Which is... Satan is
cockiness,
good at
it.
Cockiness, arrogance. At the same time, vengefulness.
And be proud of it.
Yeah.
And don't even think for a second that he might be wrong.
Sure.
Don't listen to the logic.
Yeah, and the other fact is that because of that arrogance and that vengefulness, that because that's what we're seeing, after 34 years, when America lost its footing here in Iran, they have become extremely vengeful.
Mm-hmm.
I
would use different word here.
Paranoid.
They became vicious.
Vicious. Yeah.
You're talking about doing something savage.
Yeah. I mean, because they threaten Iran every single moment.
And nobody asks this simple question on a constantly basis, okay? What kind of debt Iran had to you?
Nothing.
Nothing. Okay, the thing is this.
Yeah.
The mentality goes
sure.
like this.
Sure.
When America is talking about our way of life, which they think is superior, I give you the clue.
Yeah.
I give you the signs. You know, we're not against nobody. Okay?
Yeah.
You know who's the biggest enemy of us? Ourselves.
Selves. Absolutely.
Okay?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
A'da adubbik nafsik allati bayna jambayk. The mere translation, again, impeccable says, the worst enemy of yours is your own soul. which is within your capacity.
Makes sense.
That makes sense?
Yeah.
How much we will really, truly love ourselves? If we did, we couldn't commit sin to go and see the difficulties of hereafter, if you believe
well,
in it.
That's a very important point now you're raising there, because...
Do you know what I'm saying?
You're absolutely right.
So
we are oppressors
by
even for
saying,
ourselves.
By claiming, remember we were talking about
yeah.
claim. I'm
going
to get back to this point.
Sure.
When you